churches, and he's organized for me to go along and to be a minister at that conference. And thanks, Bill, for organizing that, and thanks for organizing the sponsorship for us to go. That is, the finances have been covered for that, and we appreciate that. They did pray for us at the prayer meeting on Wednesday morning, but certainly we'd ask you to keep on praying for us, and we'll bring testimony back the following week.
Good morning, everyone. On the 30th of July, we're going to have an amazing evening. Thank you, Nick. Go, Nick. These fellows here are going to be there on the 30th of July. Who believes that the church needs to be debt-free? Put your hands up. Debt-free. So we're trusting God that we're going to have a fundraising evening on the 30th of July. Put that in your minds, your iPads, your iPods, your computers, your reminders. We're going to have an amazing evening. It's going to be an entertaining evening. It's going to be barnyard style. We've got some amazing artists. Nosiye Zulu. Some of you may know her, but she's making great shakes in this country as well, and we're really privileged to have her here. She's going to come and do this thing for us to help us raise some funds. She's an Idols essay. Watch TV this afternoon at 5:30. If you have DSTV, or go around to a friend's place, channel 161. You'll see her there. Okay, so she's coming here to help us out. We have Brad Stratum, also great muso from up the highway area, going to be doing some Coldplay stuff. And then we have our very own. Do I need to introduce him? Woo! Our very own on piano, and he's going to be doing a kind of a maybe a little more dated stuff, you know, to kind of roll us along. So that's going to be great there. And then, like I said, it's barnyard style. We're hoping to get 30 tables in here with 10 people per table. So if you work that out at 80 Rand, we're hoping to raise, if you all come and you attend, 24,000 Rand, okay? So please, please support it. We're going to have sound, lighting. There's going to be some stuff on sale and stuff, but I'm going to hand over to Naj now just to give us the details. But please bring friends as well. It's a great opportunity just to kind of bring friends who are not necessarily going to church and who can come into kind of an informal setting, if you like, and just to enjoy the fellowship. You're looking forward to it? You're going to be there? Sold. Okay, thank you.
Well, can't talk that. Could Madden and Carola stand, please? Madden is organizing some eats and that for the interval at on the evening of the barnyard, looking for some volunteers to help him make some eats up, and we'll sell them in the corner there. Carola has been working very, very hard securing sponsorships and prizes and stuff like that, and she's got some raffle forms that we would like the church to take out into the marketplace. We've been offered a fantastic penthouse in Chalkers Rock, and we would like to make as much opportunity of that as possible. So we need about 20 to 30 people just to take forms out for that. And what we will do, we'll wait in the corner there with that little arrases at the back there after the service. Come and chat to us. And then also, if you don't have internet access, I'll take your name down and your money, of course, and give you a receipt, and you can collect your ticket either next week or on the evening. And that's all from the Bonbuster. Just another thing is that I'm going up to Monzi on the 6th of August. I've got between 5,000 and 6,000 liters of water to get up, so I need transport. So talk to me after there as well, and I'd like to take a nice convoy up. Thanks very much.
Yeah, that's amazing. A church up in Monzi has just been so grateful for the supply of water that's come up there. So if you do have a big vehicle and you have some time, please speak to Nigel about that. As widows and orphans are just rejoicing over the abundant generosity that's come from that ministry. So thank you. So all these wonderful, exciting things happening in the life of the church. A little bit of a sad, emotional announcement to make in just a moment, but before that, can I have the ushers up to the front? Let me first take your money before I tell you. now, if we could just have the ushers to come up, we'll do the morning offering. But First, we did invite folk who have been visiting here for a while who'd like to know more about new members, what it's to become part of this local church. You've got to first be a member of Jesus' body before a church, but who'd like to work that out in this local church and know more about it. There's going to be some clipboards going around. Can I ask Terry and Bill, Dave, the guy sitting in the front, could you just pass those, put them at three different intervals on the one left side of the church so they can filter their way through. If you would like to know more about the new members class, what it means to be part of this local church, then put your name and a number down there as those clipboards come around past you. So we're going to be doing two things at the same time. We're going to be filling in a form. This is hard for some men to do. And then, Lord, we thank you as we bring our finances this morning. Even if we do it by way of EFT or if we do it physically, we thank you that this represents our time, our energy, our hard work that is partnering with the ministry of the church and with the gospel in this time and in this age that we live. So as we bring our finances this morning and as we bring it in faith, we pray that our needs will be met according to your riches and glory. Amen. Amen. Okay, and then Willie and Louise Smith. Oh, so don't you guys want to stand up? In fact, don't just stand up. Come and stand here in front. I'd love to put you in a bottle and spray you over the church. This is just a couple that are just walking, living testimonies of God's grace, God's goodness, God's favor, and the friendship we've had for how many years now? 14? 16 years. Louise came to Louise Gibbons' life group, ladies' group in the early years, recommitted her faith to Christ, and soon after that, you saw all the kids coming along. We got to Mary, Nikki, and Carla, and other Willie who left Durban, and we saw the kids come through and all give their lives to the Lord, put their faith in Christ before they moved on to other nations, and Willie and Louise have been with us through it all, through the thick and thin. In fact, Janet and I say, God gives every pastor of a church a couple, like I say that about Dave and Louise, also say about Willie and Louise. Somebody, who's married to Louise is here? Just put your hands up. Just, they have given us courage when we've really felt so down. And just seeing their lives come through so many changes, ups and downs in the life of the church, in their own lives, in our lives, and their faithfulness as friends. Willie came up one Sunday to give his life to Christ and to put his faith in Jesus. Tears were flowing. The church was the other way around. I still remember the back wall was here. It was the blue church. Remember the blue church? And Anne Fonico came up and gave him a prophetic word, and he was just sobbing. And he was radically, radically born again. And we've just seen amazing fruit out of their lives over the years. And they're going to be based in Tuba Tuba, Shawi area, from the end of the month. And we'll see them from time to time as they visit Durban, but they'll be going. And part of our heart to go with them. But I wonder if some of their friends can just come up. We want to lay hands on them. We want to pray and send them with just so much favor and blessing. And everything they've been for us will be pressed down, shaken together over their lives, over their family.
Father, you know how much we love Louise and Billy and how much they mean to us. So it's with heavy hearts that we just, almost as it is, that we surrender them into your hands for the time away from highway. Father, I want to thank you that your word says that the favor of the Lord is on the head of the righteous. And Lord, both Billy and Louise are completely and totally righteous in your eyes. So therefore, Father, we just send them with incredible favor. We send them with even the word this morning, with restoration, restoration financially, in their families, in their lives of their daughters, in the lives of their sons. Father, we just want to pray that this will be a time that they would enjoy because it has been created by you. Father, we want to thank you that they're going to go in your incredible protection, that they're going to be surrounded by angels, and that angels have already gone ahead of them. Father, that they're going to forge new friendships and new family in the area that they're going to be planted. Father, I pray that it won't be a time of just going there to sit around, but Father, it'll be a time of taking this amazing message of grace and implanting it into the hearts of many, many other believers and into people that don't even know you yet. Father, I pray that you would use them mightily in your kingdom and to extend your kingdom over this time. Father, we love them. We don't want to see them go, but Father, you've called them, so therefore we just say, go in the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, that your grace and your peace would be upon them every step they take and every word that they speak. Father, that it would be that your blessings would be upon their head. It would follow them and go with them and be with them. Father, there's nothing more than we can desire but to live and to walk and to move in your being and in your blessing. Let them experience that, Lord, over the next time. In Jesus' name.
And as you go, I'm going to cause you to walk where other people have not walked. I'm going to cause you to round every corner and to see under every stone a message that is for the people of this land. I'm going to cause you to be like a huge telescope looking into the sky, refining the things that I have already told you. And I will show you great and wonderful things as you go. And I will cause you to be a blessing where you are. I will cause you to move and to have your being in me like never before in your life. You have desired, you've cried out for more. Well, this is going to be a time of more. I'm taking you out to a place where you will be quiet before me. And even with the people coming along and people surrounding you, in that, you're going to see my voice. In that, I'm going to refine you. In that, you're going to be like a telescope, this huge telescope that'll be able to look deeply, deeply into the things that I have prepared. And as you look deeply, I'm going to give you a word for the nations. I'm going to give you a word for people that's going to break through, that's going to destroy the works of the enemy.
Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Thanks, Willie and Louise. Willie's emerged with a great prophetic gift in the last few years, and Louise's ministry in the prisons has been passed over to another lady. And we're asking for 10 Willies and Louises in this house. We don't sow seeds like this without believing for restore. So God bless you. Thanks. Okay. Gary, we're still in the series of God's Got a Good Work for You that comes out of the grace that you've received. And I've asked Gary to share a bit on how that good work translates into the marketplace, our everyday lives, in our business, in our jobs. And he's got a lot of experience in that area, and it's just great. I listened to your last message, and I was so excited for this morning to hear. So open your hearts, and let's receive a word, not just from a person, but that the Holy Spirit has for our lives today. So come. Lord, we thank you for Gary. We thank you that he's a gift to this local church, and we thank you for this message he carries in his heart. Today, we open our hearts to receive. In Jesus' name. Amen. And then after Gary's ministered, I'm going to ask all those who wrote their names down, who'd like to know more about membership, I'm going to meet with you for 3 minutes after the service on my left-hand side by the communion table. I'll come up and remind you, because the next few minutes are going to be encouraging. Bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. I look forward to this morning. We worshiped well this morning, church. We worshiped well. The Father was very, very excited with our worship this morning. He enjoyed it. Did you enjoy it? Absolutely. When you put everything into it, you get a return. You want a small return? Put a little bit in. Just a small jump. He has a small jump in heaven. But when we're sending it in our worship, he's sending it too. And the angels are rejoicing with us too. So don't hold back. Don't hold back. So the title of the message 2 weeks ago was Thank God It's Monday. And so this is Thank God It's Monday Part 2. So maybe it's thank God it's Tuesday. I did mention about my pink glasses. You understand why I wear these. All right. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 2. They're powerful, eh? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. So I'm going to do a very quick summary of what took place 2 weeks ago, just to bring some of us up to speed that may have missed it. All right. So Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." And one of the things we discussed was that good works equals meeting the needs of people. Good works equals meeting the needs of people. If you're doing something good in the life of somebody, if you're doing something good in this house, the guys that take up the offering on a Sunday, they're actually meeting our needs because we're able to give. So good works equals meeting the needs of people. What was Jesus involved in doing for his 3.5 years? Meeting the needs of people. What was he doing for the first 30 years? Meeting the needs of people. He was working, but he was still meeting the needs of people. So meeting the needs of people is not just a spiritual thing. It's actually a physical thing, an action as well. Working, producing, farmers meet our needs. Meeting the needs of people. So the word says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works," which, by the way, God prepared beforehand. That's why it's critical that we find ourselves in his purpose that he has destined for us. That we find the blueprint that he has for us. Why? Because it was prepared beforehand. We said, what if God cares more about Mondays than Sundays? As the church, we gather on a Sunday to celebrate, praise him, worship him, enjoy communion. But what if God actually cared more about Mondays and Tuesdays and microphones? Does that look better? Okay. I feel fine. Our impact, this church's impact at work on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is a direct indication of what took place on Sunday. The demons are petrified about tomorrow after what they saw went down this morning here in this house. You see, we can't come together as a body and celebrate and shout and jump and praise God, and when we leave, nothing has taken place on the inside. If something takes place on the inside, we'll have impact on the Monday and on the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Sunday is our day of recharge. Life groups during the week is an evening of recharge. See, God only said, gather together. You know, as often as you do this and a whole bunch of things in memory and remember me. But most of our time is spent working. Most of our time is spent working. a place of work in the fields, not in the house of God. So your impact cannot be here on a Sunday. Your prophetic gift needs to be there on a Monday and on a Tuesday and a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's not to get a nice to get a blessing here on a Sunday, to have a word of encouragement. But you know what? That gift is for you to be used in the marketplace where you work. You and I are carrying a responsibility, a heavy responsibility on our shoulders, because we are carrying the kingdom of God on our shoulders. And every day we get to work, we have a responsibility to let those that we work with know, to meet their needs, to meet their needs. We said last week or 2 weeks ago, if you're carrying peace, it's pointless saying bless you to those that are troubled and leave them. Give them peace. Those that are sad, give them joy. Rub shoulders with them. Encourage them. Fire them up. The responsibility is on our shoulders. And we need to take a hold of that. We need to take a hold of that responsibility and say, hey, Lord, I'm the best person you can give it to, because I'm going to do something with this responsibility. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 15. Here are some interesting things that you may or may not have discovered. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. That word tend refers to work, refers to cultivate. Now later on, the Lord speaks to Moses and says, come up to this mountain and worship me. In the Hebrew, that word worship is avodah, A-V-O-D-A-H. And actually, it's the exact same word used in verse 15 of Genesis 2, where the Lord says work. Worship. Work. Worship. Work did not come about because of sin. Work is not punishment designed by God for us. Work is a blessing. If you have a job and you are working, you are blessed. If you are unemployed, we need to get you employed so that you can be blessed. Work is God's primary way of having our needs met. Worship. Work. Worship. God took Adam, by the way, and put him in the garden. When you read that again quickly. Then the Lord God took. Didn't ask him. He took him. Come with me. Took him. Took the man and put him in the garden to tend and keep it. Did he ask him if he wanted to? No. He said, come, created a garden for you, work. And everything else, Adam was given a choice. He was given a choice. Eat whatever you want, do whatever you want, just look after my garden. There was no choice there. It was almost a command. Work. You want to enjoy the blessing of God? We need to work. Work is a blessing from God. Now there's two things that he said there. He said, tend and keep. Two different things. Adam, tend, cultivate, work, grow, develop. But he also said, keep. So I looked up in the Oxford Dictionary and see what the definitions were. Tend, to take care of, to look after. That's what tend means. To take care of, to look after. Keep. It's another thing altogether. Keep is have continuous charge of, retain possession of, retain or reserve for a future occasion or time. Do you think you knew about Eve? Do you think you knew about the serpent coming? So he told Adam, tend this garden of mine, but also keep it, Adam. We have opportunity in the workplace to tend where we're working. But you also have a responsibility to keep that place. What did Jesus do for the first 30 years of his life? He worked. And when he worked, he was excellent at what he did. How do we know that? Because he was called Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter. And if he was living in Nazareth, they wouldn't have called him Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter. They called him that when he was outside of Nazareth. So they could identify where he was from. So his reputation grew beyond that of Nazareth. The furniture he made was sought after. That's why people followed him in the beginning. Because he had a reputation. He wasn't just somebody strolling around in the dusty streets. People, that's Jesus of Nazareth. He's the carpenter. Mom bought the bed from him. A little bit of a license here. He was known. He had a reputation. The word goes on and says that Jesus grew in stature. Because he obeyed his father. His dad was actually the owner, the CEO of the carpentry store. Jesus, he worked for his dad. He never tried to take over from his dad. Because he was called for a specific purpose. And he knew that. So he didn't go slack on what he did. He was excellent at his work. He was known, not his father, he was known for the products that they delivered. We, from this house, the house of HCC, the tribe of Steve and Janet, we must be known as excellent in our workplace. The phone should ring here Monday to Friday with employers asking Steve and Janet, do you have anybody that you could refer? Because I heard that the best come out of this place. Have you had any calls? We did play someone this week. This is not a joke. This is serious. We carry the responsibility. We carry the authority of Jesus Christ on our shoulders. And it is critically important that in the workplace, people recognize, because of our excellent work, because of the great work we deliver, that they recognize who we represent. It's very easy to say, now I'm a Christian. And yes, we are. And it's wonderful that it's easy. Remember that when you put that out there, you're saying, I'm carrying the kingdom of God on these shoulders. The authority of the Lord Jesus Christ is on these shoulders. And I'm willingly carrying them out there. Now there's an action. There's an action that's required when you carry that authority. And we have to be prepared and willing to meet the needs of people. Bill preached a few weeks ago, and he was very prophetic in the word he shared. And I went out to see a client of mine on that Monday. And it happened to be a Muslim family. And I only met the husband in the beginning. And he was hunched over like this. He must have had tremendous neck pain. So he was half my size because he was bent over. So I said to him, what happened to you? After I'd done what I'd needed to do, I said, what happened to you? He said, I was blindsided in a motor vehicle. The other person hit and run, disappeared. And this is how I was left. And I remembered I had an opportunity. There, before my very eyes, I had an opportunity. Now, I could choose to take that opportunity or not. So I took it. I said, can I pray for you? Because I'm a Christian, and I believe that Jesus healed us. At that time, there's a rustle in the back. It was a big house, beautiful. And out comes this woman, was his wife. And I must have stirred up something, because the look that she gave me wasn't an inviting look. You will encounter, when you stand up in your workplace, you will encounter opposition. But that's why we come on a Sunday together, to get recharged, to get refired, so that when we get out there on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we are able to deal with whatever comes our way. I've got to finish, Maria. Give me a moment. Before I get... No. So I laid hands on him. And what do you think happened? That's my wife. So much faith in her husband. So I laid hands on the man. And I felt this beautiful love and peace. In fact, I began to weep. I wanted to kiss him. I did. I just wanted to kiss this man. Yeah, that's why I came out. Give me a... What's that? Yeah. So, and I felt the love of Jesus coming to this man. So I prayed. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bring this child of yours to you. You know what he's encountered. He's doubled up. He's in pain. I ask you right now, as I lay my hands on him, heal him in the name of Jesus. And his wife started moving the pots and pans in the kitchen, and it was the demons getting a little bit restless there, you see. And afterwards, he didn't get 100% straight up. But he took my hand. He said, hey, thank you. I believe So when I left, I prayed in the spirit for I don't know how long. I haven't been back, haven't seen the man again. Maybe I should go and visit and see that the miracle has taken place. And that's something you need to understand. That you're not always going to see the instantaneous result. But if you don't give Jesus something to work with, nothing can be done. He went to the wedding. They ran out of wine. What did he do? He took water. He took something and made it into wine. When God made Adam, what did he do? He took dust and he made. He took something. He needs something to work with. The 5 fish and the 6 loaves, or however many, 3 loaves. He had to work with something. He didn't create fish out of nowhere. He didn't create bread out of nowhere. He multiplied what he had. He has you and I in his hands. He needs to multiply through you and I. Put yourself out there. Oh, it's a bit nerve-wracking at times. But if you put yourself out there, you've done all that he requires. He didn't say to you, heal him, heal her. He said, pray. Put yourself out there. You and I can do nothing. We are simply the vessels. And so often we walk past the sick, and our hands go in the pocket. Bless you. And that didn't bring healing. You missed your opportunity, but worse, Jesus missed his opportunity to infuse his power and his anointing into that individual to bring healing. And that healing can reach their family. Salvation can come. Because you cannot deny when the power of God comes upon you, it doesn't matter who you think you serve. The impact that will take place in your life will bring you to your knees, and that family will get saved. It has to. Two things. Greatness leads to respect. Greatness leads to respect. If you're good at what you do, you're going to get respect. Steve spoke last week about influence. Respect brings the opportunity for influence. You want influence? You need to get respect. You want to get respect? Be good at what you do. Be good at what you do. You'll earn respect. Respect lands influence. And influence gives you the platform to be able to share the truth. And we know that the truth brings freedom. The truth brings freedom. Some of us may be in companies and we called in and we told, listen, I don't know how much longer we can go. We can go on. It's tough out there. You carry the solution. You carry the solution. And it doesn't matter what role or function you may have in that business. You can be an admin clerk. You can be the sales director. You can be the janitor. You can be, it doesn't matter. But if you have given your life to Jesus, you carry the authority of Jesus Christ on your shoulders. You have the solution for whatever your company may face. I believe that with everything in me. They need to know that they can call on you. Call you in. We're faced with this. I know it's not your area of expertise. What would you do? That's all he wants, is an opportunity. Put yourself out there. What would you do? And you tell them what the Spirit of the living God is telling you to tell them. Hebrews 11:6. I'm going to wrap up in a few minutes. Hebrews 11:6. This is a powerful, powerful scripture. So when they say to you, what should I do? This is the place you've got to be at. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is. Why does it say it twice? Those that come to God must believe that he is God. The solution. When you come to him, you've got to believe that he is the solution. Pointless coming to him if you're not sure. Come to him. And the word says, when you come to me, believe that I am the solution. He is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You want reward? Seek him. You want the solution? You want the answer to the crisis that you face, your company may face, that your workplace is facing? Seek him. We're facing this. What's your solution? And what says? Diligently seek me. Two things. Believe that I am God. I hold the solutions. I know all things. And number two, that he will reward you because you're diligently seeking him. And what is that reward? I want a solution. We have this problem. We need a solution. What can you tell me that I can share with those that I work with? There's a responsibility on our shoulders, folks. There's a responsibility on our shoulders. I had dinner. Pauline and I had dinner on Monday night with some friends of ours. Hadn't had dinner with them before at their home. And we learned, I was very encouraged. I learned a few things. And one of the things I learned was that this man was tired of being his number two. He wanted to be his number one. So he must get this. It's critical that you become number one. Your number one. That you bring your A game, not your B game. Being number one is not a competition with somebody else. Be the best that you can be. But be your number one and not your number two. When you get to work on Mondays, you go as number one. Bring your best results. Deliver on time. Number two is slack and lazy. I've been number two many a times. My business. And I see the results. I see the results. Adam was number one for a while. And then he became Adam number two. How do you be great at work? At your work? Two things. Tend and keep. Tend and keep. Tend is your attitude. Tend is your willingness. Be hungry and starve to be better than what you are. Be number one. Be your number one in your workplace. Be the one that can be counted on. The one that will meet the deadlines. That's tending. Keep, study, read, listen. Develop yourself. I had dinner with these folk and he developed a program that today, he retired 11 years ago. Today, the insurance industry is using that even today. It's mandatory in the company you work for. Every sales consultant has to use this program. or because he realized he was delivering second-rate service. And he came to a place where he realized, I need to do better. I need to give the best. So he started looking at his industry, and he started developing a program. To this day, it's used throughout the industry. He's not even there. He left 11 years ago. And by the way, he only had a standard 7 education. Only had a standard 7. But he was able to deliver. Why? Because he was tired of being number 2. He wanted to be number 1 in his life. When you get to work on Monday, bring your number 1. Bring your A game. Because that gives you a platform where you can share the truth, the gospel, the opportunity to reach the souls, the lost. We're going to do something prophetic now. I've got a bunch of mustard seeds. You and I have the opportunity to change the environment we work in. When you arrive at work on Mondays, the demons need to start paying attention. On a Sunday, when they scout out there and they see, oi, we got problems on Mondays. Monday's coming. Don't even pitch. Stay at home. The church has come to work on Monday. Not Joe, the church has arrived at work on Monday. The authority of the Lord Jesus Christ is upon me. It's upon you. And on Mondays, when you get there, you come in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You come in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means every knee will bow to that name of Jesus. Which means every knee will bow its name in the name of Jesus. It will bow its knee. Sickness in the workplace must go. Lack must go. Peace comes. Joy comes. You and I have the responsibility to change the environment that we work in. Don't look at your boss. Don't look at the managing director and the CEO. You can change it. God just needs one person there. He just needs one person that is willing. Just one individual. Because he only needs one to be able to work. He needs one that says, I'm willing. I'm willing. Work with me. Give him something to work with. We're going to do something prophetic now. I want to read to you. You know, the service was brilliant. We've been restored. Yes, restoration will continue to come over time and that, but we kind of got to a place this morning where the issues we've had, the hardships we've been carrying all this time, there's an end. There's an end. I'm restored now. Yes, there's more work God's going to do in me. I haven't arrived, but I can be released now to do great exploits for him. Daniel chapter 11. Verse 32 says this. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. A person that is corrupted with flattery will get nowhere. They'll never accomplish much. But, the word goes on and says, but the people who know their God, the people who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits for Him. This morning, we want to pray for a whole, everybody. If there's everybody available, wonderful, come. I want you to come forward this morning. We're going to pray that, I'm going to throw this mustard seed over you this morning. And that seed that hits you, in Matthew chapter 11, 20, it says that if you have the seed, the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move, go there. And you know what happens? It moves. It moves. We are going to go out of this place and do great exploits. He just needs you to be available. He needs you to be willing. Let's stand. And if you want to do great exploits for God, if you're that one that's it's in your heart, you're saying, hey, yes, 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 that's me. I want to do something. I am the one that He wants to work with. Come here. Come. We're going to pray this morning. We're going to pray over you. We're going to say, Lord God, we want to do great exploits for you. We want to touch this nation. We need this community like we've never needed before. This community needs us like they've never needed before. We're going to do great exploits for you today, Lord Jesus. We leave in this place. Monday will never be the same again. We look forward, Father, to doing great things for you. Yes, we understand you just need something to work with. And here we are. 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 Thank you, Father. I'm going to take mustard seed. I'm going to throw it over the people today. That mustard seed hits you, that's a little seed of faith. You take a hold of that. You determine in your heart this morning that when you leave this place, you will do great exploits for Him. You will do great exploits for you, for Him. Nothing will hold you back. Nothing will hold you back. Determine in your heart. Determine in your mind. In the name of Jesus. Father.
Just as Gary does a prophetic action now. Remember, it's Jesus who said, if you have faith, as small as the mustard. So this morning in your heart, say, I don't feel like I have a lot of faith. I feel like I've got no faith. Jesus says, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for what you think is minuscule, what you think is so small that it's not going to make any difference. Those five loaves, those seven fishes. So just as you lift up your hands, and just as a symbol of receiving, He's receiving you right now. He's receiving you. And we're going to sing the song about faith. As we declare it over your business, over your body, over your situation. As Gary just goes ahead now and sprinkles seed. And carry on. Now, carry on. As Gary just does this prophetic action of throwing out seed, let's declare if faith can move a mountain.
Well, if faith can move a mountain, let those mountains move. Come with expectation, waiting here for you.
In the name of Jesus, great exploit.
Waiting here for you. Of our creation, still you know my heart, and through the authorization, who's left us from the start, oh, it's you, oh, we didn't hear for you,
come on,
with our hands, yeah. Lifting it high. We know to be here.
word this morning. For by grace we've been saved. It is not of ourselves, but it's the gift of God. That no man may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We are part of Your solution on this earth, Lord. And tomorrow, watch out world, the church is coming. Watch out highway, the church is coming. Watch out workplace, the church is coming. And the church, every place you put your foot on, tomorrow. Just a mustard seed of faith. Just a mustard seed of faith. And He prepared this in advance for you, church. This was His thinking, not your thinking. This was His plan A. This is what He took you and said, come into My garden. Come and work. When He pulled you to where you are now, you're not there by accident. You're not there by chance. You're there by divine appointment. Lord, we receive our assignment. We receive our assignments. And we step out in faith and know that You are with us. And watch out, world. Because if faith can move a mountain, this mountain is going to move. This mountain is going to move. This mountain is going to move.
Yes, Lord. Waiting here for You with a head lifted high in prayer.
As a workplace. And watch out, world. Here we come. Remember, next Sunday, Greg Haswell's going to be here. Not to be missed. You need to be here for Greg Haswell next Sunday. And then just to the folk who wrote their names down on the clipboards as they came around for new members, if I can meet with you for 3 minutes in their toddler's room, behind the love, grace, and peace signboards, there's a cup of tea in there. I'm just going to keep you for 3 minutes. So if you wrote your name down on the clipboard, you'd like to find out more about being part of this local church, being a member, please give us, meet with me there next door for a few minutes. God bless you. God keep you. God keep your face shine upon you. Amen. Oh,
faith can move a mountain. Until those mountains move.
There's a little bit of confusion around the folk I'm meeting with. I did say on my left-hand side, that was incorrect. I'm meeting in the toddler's room behind those glass windows for a cup of tea and just for a few minutes over there. Thank you.